We kick off hour number three, Three and Out, Fan Run Radio, straight to the phone lines where Matthew waited patiently through the break. We appreciate that, as always. Matthew, good morning, sir. Oh, is it doing that thing where Hickman got the phone sticky again?
Am I there?
Yeah, there you are. Hey, buddy.
Matthew.
Yeah. It looked right.
It's all good. I wouldn't expect any less on a day like Wednesday, slow news day. Honestly, Hickman, I hate to say it, but Arizona's screwed. That's the same week of my birthday, and we know what happened last year on my birthday, so I hate to brag, but I think we can go ahead and count that one as a win.
Hey, they better find a way to get me in attendance if they want to win, though. So I was in attendance last year. We won. I won't be in attendance this year. We're probably going to lose on your birthday.
I've got extra Southwest points, just saying.
Hey.
Uh-huh. It might have been an invite, Hickman, if you weren't such a jerk.
Houston, it's a tale as old as time here. We sit in August, what's today, August 9th? August 10th, 2022, and we're complaining, or at least Phil was complaining about the basketball recruiting. It's August, and what to say, no one knew that Julian Phillips would be on this roster. Nobody knew that Tyree Key would be on this roster, and I just have to say, what did Aaron Rodgers say? R-E-L-A-X, relax.
That's what he said.
I'm just saying, like, I get it. We put our eggs in the basket, and you missed out on a guy like Edwards, and you missed out on Kaysom Wallace last year. But for the same fans that complained about how Rick Barnes couldn't win with five stars, well, here's your chance. This is probably going to be the first class since 2018 where we don't get a five star. So I think we'll be okay. We're in on three guards right now. We're going after a small forward. I forget his name. It escapes me. He's from, oh, God, come on, Matthew, think. I think his name is, what is it?
Where's he from?
JP Estrella, that's what it is.
Estrella, yeah.
He's like a 6'11 forward. He's basically going to probably play the four if he puts on some weight. We'll see. But he basically, he compete with probably Cade next fall. But I say all this to say it's kind of funny that we, like, I don't think Rick Barnes can win or lose with our fan base some days. I get it, but it's just comedy at this point. But I do think, to your point, Houston, this is actually a very talented team coming in this fall. I think they're going to be top 12, probably 10th. But I do want to know, and I'll hang up on this, is what's the Billy must-bust beef with Adam? Thanks, guys.
Are you beefing with Billy?
You don't know how hard it is to listen to a guy carry the water of Eric Musselman all day, every day at work.
I you're right, I don't know. I mean, I know Billy is pretty high on Musselman.
Oh,
but
he loves him. I'm not huge on Musselman. I think he's a good coach. I think if he doesn't break through here in a couple of years, it'll be kind of a very big disappointment, because look at the talent he's bringing in this year.
Mm.
I mean, he's been to back-to-back Elite Eights. That's cool. Rick Barnes has still been to more for the time being. Mm. But Arkansas will be dangerous this year. Probably the most talented team in the conference. Then we're Kentucky. And, yeah.
It just sticks in your craw a little bit, huh?
I just hate Arkansas and everything now. Like, I hate them in baseball. I hate them in basketball.
You hate them in football?
Football, I don't really mind them. Sam Pittman's pretty cool.
I don't hate them in basketball. I mean, they're good.
If you'd have watched that game at Arkansas last year, you would have hated them in basketball, too. That was the most excruciating game I've ever watched in my life.
Was it that bad?
I mean,
I listened to most of it on the radio.
I think it was worse than Texas Tech.
Just the way we played or the way Arkansas flopped?
Both. And, like, at least Texas Tech wasn't a conference game. Yeah, you were on national television at the most historic basketball venue in the world, but still, that Arkansas game last year at Arkansas was a sight to see.
In a very bad way.
And first of all,
I saw the last 2 seconds of that game. I literally walked in as it ended.
Yeah. When Aaron Rodgers told everybody to R-E-L-A-X,
mm-hmm.
he was probably high on psychedelics, so that would explain why.
Well, we have learned he does like the psychedelics.
I don't think I'm going to relax for a while when it comes to basketball.
I mean, we're top 12. We're a 2 seed, according to your boy, Joe Lunardi. things are, I don't want to say perfect, but I mean, seems pretty positive. I mean, I didn't know what, I still don't really know what to expect. I'm not pressing the panic button on recruiting because, as Matthew said, things change very quickly. You have a decent year, the transfer portal, guys getting better, having a big senior year, or the reclassification. Like, there's always going to be players, and I don't think you have to have a roster full of five stars to win. I mean, Kentucky's had that every year since Calipari got there. He's got one national championship and the biggest blown season in the history of college basketball, probably. So I'm not nervous. I'm not worried. The only thing that is a little worrisome is you've been top two, top three for a lot of really, really good players. Not only are you not getting them, but they're going to Kentucky, they're going to Auburn, and then you've lost a couple lately to Michigan State. If you're going to be in these battles and get this far, it'd be nice to close on a couple. That said, there's a lot of time left. I'm not ready to, you know, I'm not tanking on Rick Barnes or anything.
Like, my thing is, you can't even enjoy the regular season anymore. Just because, you know.
What are you talking about? That's the, that's 30-something games of fun. Like, we're winning a bunch of games. We win. We're undefeated at home again.
It's a tournament sport.
Then why even play the regular season? It's not just a tournament sport. Like, the regular season SEC title is the championship, and then there's the tournament title. We won the tournament title last year for the first time in, since 40-something years.
44.
I mean, we're right there in the hunt every year for regular season.
I know we're going to be good this year. I know we're going to be probably a top 15 team all year. I know we're going to compete for the conference. But
that's not good enough?
At the same time, it's like, recruiting's not been great.
This is what
it's
you did.
Bad.
This is what you did with baseball. This is what you did with baseball. The regular season, when you're just mowing people down, winning all the big games, defending your home turf, it's not good enough because you're just so worried about the postseason. The reason there is a regular season is so there's all these games to enjoy.
Were we struggling recruiting wise, and then we brought in? I mean, well, maybe no, because Viscovi came in late.
Yeah,
like
he was
in
like
January.
I was trying to think
of who we were recruiting, you know, and things like that. I mean. I don't know.
That could happen again. You could go.
I think we're better this year than we were last year. Personally, I think he only lost one player.
But what? But like, why? Like, why? Why does it even matter? Because ultimately, you're probably not going to do anything in the tournament.
Who cares though? I mean,
who cares?
Let's say there is no tournament. I mean, the regular season is still fun. I mean, you watch all the games. We break it down. Obviously, the hope is that you get to the postseason and have a run. But only one team can win the whole thing.
I'm not asking to win the whole thing.
Well, you're saying Elite Eight or bust, and we're the 12th best team in the country, according to ESPN. I mean, if you make the second weekend, if you make the Sweet 16, you've had a successful
season. I guess to Hickman's point, which I don't totally agree with, but well, I will say North Carolina did make that run, and they were horrible in the regular season. Barely made the tournament. I think they had 10-11 losses.
I'd rather go 22-8, 20-10.
You want to be like a 6-7 seed or something?
Yeah, be a 6-7 seed, get hot and go on a run and get
well, that's
to
what we thought was going to happen. We won the SEC tourney. Maybe that backfired a little bit, but I don't know.
I mean, I'm a firm believer that if you peak, I mean, you peaked last year, probably when Kentucky came to town last year, that's when you hit your peak because you went on a stretch where you beat Kentucky, Auburn, Arkansas, then you had the SEC tournament. If you start that peak 2 weeks later, you probably make it to the Final Four. But just that's the thing with Rick Barnes, though. His teams never peak at the right time. It's always the first month of the season or right before stuff gets serious. And it just beats the hell out of me. I mean,
I think you're spoiled.
I don't think
I think you're spoiled with regular season success. And you saw what happened to North Carolina.
I don't want to be spoiled with regular season success.
But you are.
To hell with it.
Well, that's the thing. Now you say that doesn't matter, but you have to have a good regular season to make the tournament. Or you could, and I agree, like North Carolina's, they kind of squeezed into the tournament, but then they go on a run, they get to the Final Four, and they're a couple plays away from winning the whole thing. I get that, but that's pretty rare. You don't want to have a bad season and then just hope you get hot in the tournament. You want to have a decent season and then get hot in the tournament. I will take the really good seasons being a top, four seed. I'm talking about, obviously, that would be 16. I'm a top 16 overall seed, a 4 seed, 3 seed, 2 seed, or a 1. I will take that and then take my chances in the tournament over being a team that sneaks in and then gets blasted in the first round by Idaho. But I get what you're saying. Like, we haven't done that. We haven't been the team that was consistent all year, then goes on a run in the tournament. I'm not saying we've gotten tough draws. I mean, every tournament's a little bit different. We did hit a Michigan team with a ton of talent.
We didn't make any shots, though.
That was also a top four team in the preseason. Too long.
I mean, that
was a talented team. Like, they were capable of that all year. They just couldn't necessarily do it.
Yeah, no, and probably shouldn't have been in the tournament.
You could argue. And we probably should have been a two seed on a completely different line and not have faced Michigan in the second round.
We should have bumped Kentucky up, and we'd have went up against St. Peter's. And? Who knows?
Would you have liked that matchup?
I think we'd have
better than Longwood?
No. We'd have beat St. Peter's because, I mean, just looking at if we played like we did against Longwood against St. Peter's, you beat St. Peter's. Kentucky played terrible.
I think a lot of this, too, and I'm not saying it's your fault, your age bracket is very spoiled with Tennessee basketball. Mm-hmm. See, I remember Buzz Peterson. I remember hoping on Selection Sunday that you just get in. Not that we thought we'd make a run. I remember making the NIT and thinking, man, it'd be kind of cool to win the NIT. Like, we don't even have to worry about that anymore.
Am I supposed to feel sorry for you?
No, I'm just saying you don't understand how bad it's been, so you want more than what you've gotten. And I'm not saying any program or team or fan should settle. I do think this program has now reached a point where you're consistently good in the regular season. You're consistently competing for the SEC regular season championship. You finally got over the SEC tournament hump. It is absolutely fair to expect this team and want this team to do something valuable in the NCAA tournament.
At what point do we get tired of coming up short and say enough is enough when Rick Barnes retires in 4 or 5 years?
Well, that's the question. Like, if Rick Barnes were to retire or you fire him, are you sure you're going to be able to go hire a guy who's better than Rick Barnes in the postseason?
I know this job's the most attractive it's ever been to young coaches.
Because of who?
Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes.
No, because of Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes took this job when it was a slop fest. It was a slop fest.
It was.
We had 3 years of Conzo.
It was a slop fest when Pearl took it over, too.
I mean, I don't think it was a slop fest, but Buzz Peterson just underachieved. I mean, Bruce Pearl took all of Buzz's players and got a two seed. Like, you're not hearing me say Bruce Pearl's a bad coach. I like Bruce Pearl. I think he's a really good coach. It pisses me off to no end that he's at Auburn stealing recruits from us when Auburn has, other than Charles Barkley, zero basketball history or tradition. Tennessee has beaten Kentucky more than any other team in the SEC, maybe any other team nationally.
Definitely any other team nationally.
That's the thing. Like, it's Kentucky in the SEC, and I'm not here to say any different, but Tennessee has been historically a pretty good basketball program, one of the most consistent in the league, and I agree with you. The job is more attractive than it's ever been, but if you were to, let's say, fire Rick Barnes, it's a big risk. Now, the question is, do you trust Danny White?
I think he's proven that
he did get Nate Oates. He did hire Nate Oates.
Trust
Nate Oates has proven to be a really good coach at Alabama. Maybe a little overrated, but a really good coach. Musselman's a really good coach. But I'm just saying, things have been and can get a lot worse than what Rick Barnes has given you with 30-something wins a year, guaranteed trip to the NCAA tournament, now a regular season title, an SEC tournament title. I get it that you want a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. I'm right there with you. But
at some
tournament draws are tough, man.
At some point, though, it's better to just be bad than to just constantly be on the doorstep.
You're absolutely drunk if you think that. You're absolutely drunk. People used to not even watch Tennessee basketball.
I know.
They had the black curtain in the upper deck.
I'm sure their lives were a lot happier.
No, because they were so bad. At least going to games now, they're sold out. They're loud. You never lose at home. It's a fun fan experience. Have you gone to an NCAA tournament game? No. Have you been to games in Thompson Bowling that we've won? Yes. You want to win in the regular season. You want to win every game you play.
I'd go to an NCAA tournament game if we could, you know, make it in the tournament deep enough to where I could plan a cool trip around it. But
so it's all about the cool trip. Maybe we'd win if you'd go to these tournament games. Maybe you would be – you just said, oh, we only win when I'm in the building. Maybe you should go to the tournament games, you coward.
Maybe.
Why don't you go to the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament this year and cheer on the boys? Hopefully we're a two seed. Maybe a one. Who knows?
Hopefully we're just there in the second round.
Well, if you're there for the first round, you guaranteed victory when you're in attendance, right?
Well, we did lose in Lexington when I was there.
No, we didn't lose in Lexington. We got curb stomped in Lexington. It's the worst loss I've ever seen us against Kentucky.
Yeah, try being there live. Well, it's not fun.
Captain Good Luck gets his throat slashed in the Bluegrass State. We'll take a quick break, come back after this. Hickman, I'm ashamed of you. perhaps the story of the offseason, and we really haven't discussed it that much on this show. Disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson, after hearing, I believe, 5 cases of Deshaun Watson's, decided on a 6-game suspension. She put most of the onus on the NFL to change their policies regarding suspensions for inappropriate behavior, sexual misconduct, sexual abuse in some cases. Roger Goodell says not enough. He wants an entire year. I think the year is actually an attempt to get 12 games as opposed to 6. Reason being, the Browns would travel to Houston to play the Texans on game 12. And it seems like the NFL is doing anything they can to avoid Deshaun Watson taking the field in Houston against the Texans, given the huge contract he signs with the Texans, then demanding a trade, sitting out a year, and all that has come to light regarding his, was it 30 civil cases, of which he's settled now 26 or 27?
So, I don't get why they wouldn't want him on the field in Houston. That would be must-see TV.
It would be, but you're probably going to have things thrown on the field.
A former alleged sex criminal goes back to old team he bamboozled. I mean, the headline writes itself.
Yeah, exactly, but I think the NFL would rather not have I think they want this behind them as fast as possible, and I think the best way for them is another year of Deshaun Watson sitting out. I know a lot of the owners in the NFL are very upset with the way the Browns finessed his salary.
Yep.
All guaranteed, bonuses up front. Did she levy a fine? She didn't, right? There was no technical fine.
Initially, the thing was 12 games and $8 million fine, I thought.
Well, it said it was weird. She said suspended 6 games.
Game
but
checks,
he
does, maybe?
But he doesn't get game checks because all of his money is guaranteed.
But he got his signing bonus, I think, the 45 or whatever.
Right,
42
right.
million, something
yeah.
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, he gets them. I mean, I guess they might be considered game checks, but not really. He might get them the week of the game, but they're not technically game checks. So there's no inherent fine if he misses a game. And that's one of the things the owners are so upset about with how Cleveland structured the contract, because now, naturally, everyone in the NFL is wanting the same type of contract. I want all my money guaranteed. I want a huge signing bonus. I don't want you to be able to touch my money if I get hurt, get suspended, so on and so forth. Roger Goodell agreed with the findings of Sue L. Robinson, did not agree with the penalty. I do think the NFL will adjust their policies regarding sexual misconduct, but they have now brought in Peter C. Harvey, former Attorney General of the state of New Jersey, to, I guess, hear the appeal by the NFL. Again, Roger Goodell asking for 1 year, Peter C. Harvey to hear the appeal, and my guess is I think he gets at least 12 games. At least 12, and Roger Goodell may get what he wants and may get the entire season of a suspension.
I think it's going to be the year.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it will be too. Although...
His words were very strong yesterday. You're using egregious, predatory behavior.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you
throw
out the word predator,
yeah.
I mean, he's seen all the accusations and.
Well, strangely, the most detail we've gotten was the New York Times article from a woman who had similar experiences to the women who filed the cases. And she did not file a case. She just said, here's what he did. Here's what I experienced. I don't want to be involved in it, but here's what my encounter with Deshaun Watson was like. I believe it was 6 months and over 70 masseuses.
Yeah. At best, he's just a weird creep with some kind of weird kink, you know? That's best case scenario.
At best.
A lot of people are upset because he hasn't really shown any remorse.
No, he hasn't.
You know, and I think that's what Robinson
said.
He lied. Oh, yeah.
He said, oh, this is nothing. I didn't do any of this. And didn't the Texans get hit also for trying to cover this up a little bit?
Yeah, as they should, yeah.
So,
they knew it was going on.
And
I think
Cleveland is kind of a dumpster fire anyway, but I don't know what Cleveland knew. Like, if he lied to everyone, did he also lie to Cleveland to get this contract? Did they just not care, give him this contract with all the guaranteed money to get him there and say, we'll deal with that on the back end?
I mean, they had a full year to investigate all this, right? I mean, if they wanted to. But I mean, he was still a Texan.
Right.
So I don't know how that works.
Yeah, and
is it tampering?
I don't know. Yeah, and I don't know what the Texans withheld, what Deshaun Watson withheld. But the contract does make it seem like the Browns knew something and were willing to help Deshaun out by guaranteeing him all this money.
I mean, if there was one team that was going to do this, I know. You know, the clown show up in
Cleveland. It was funny that Jimmy Haslam released a statement with he and his wife, Dee Haslam.
Right.
I guess to show that there's a woman attached to Jimmy Haslam and how everything about this
horrible.
Is just so so odd. Perhaps not the most odd, though. Hickman, what's going on in Cleveland, Ohio this week?
National Massage Convention.
You can't make this up.
You really this is right out of a South Park script.
I'm wondering if this is why he chose Cleveland. Like, did he look on the massage convention? Did he look on the massage convention calendar and say, "Man, if I get away with this, there's going to be a lot of masseuses in Cleveland." Nice. National Massage Convention in Cleveland this week. Is it right? Is it this week? Is it not?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it. You may not have mentioned it on air, but during the breaks, I think you mentioned it last week. But who knows when? It doesn't matter when it is.
Yeah.
It's in Cleveland.
Anytime this year.
How hot and bothered do you think he is right now?
That he's like trapped in his house or apartment and can't go over there and walk around?
Do you think all the masseuses have pictures of him so that if he walks
up? Hey, you see this man, get the hell out now.
He's got the banana nose with the glasses outfit. He's just walking around like, hey, how's it going? It's like, oh, 6'5" guy with a blonde wig and trench coat.
What if he's the keynote speaker?
He's like, if there's anything I know about massages. Oh, God. That's, you can't make it up. I don't know. Maybe it had something to do with it. I was trying to remember what they, apparently he would reach out to masseuses on Instagram. And obviously a lot of NFL players, former NFL players, current players have spoke to the fact that you usually use a team masseuse or you have a personal masseuse, massage therapist that kind of goes with you and travels with you, or anytime you need to have something, quote unquote, worked on, you have either a licensed team masseuse / physician. And he was just reaching out to people unlicensed in the state of Texas, basically saying, hey, this is very important. I need to see you this week. I don't care that you're not licensed. Just make sure that you can be here at this time. They would come meet him, and obviously what transpired would transpire. Always women, always younger, always attractive. Like, you could say he's maybe just a guy with a weird kink or fetish.
Yeah.
It was deliberate.
Hey,
he knew exactly what he was doing.
Hey, girl, you want to come rub me? Sir, I am not massage school. I am a business student. I don't care. Come on over.
I don't care. You got a table, right? No? Okay. Well,
Didn't Robert Kraft get in trouble for something in Miami? Having a parlor or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Hickman's boy. Yeah.
Hickman's boy.
Happy ending, I believe
happy
they
ending.
Called it.
Yeah. I mean, you think Deshaun Frank went down
the
there?
Guy was grieving over his dead wife, trying to rebuild, and he just... It's amazing that people just had to pry into his personal life and find that out.
It was an FBI sting.
Yeah. They raided that place.
Like, this was a big problem.
He was a grieving widow. Give him a break.
Was she dead at the time?
I think she was, yes.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Hickman, are you really you're standing up for a guy who did the exact same thing that Deshaun Watson did?
He did not do the exact same thing.
It sounds like he did.
He got a happy ending. That's nowhere near. Happy endings aren't illegal.
If you pay for it, they are.
He probably didn't pay for it.
He's Robert Kraft.
He doesn't have to pay. Because he's Robert
Kraft.
That
might make it worse. I thought you hated New England. Now you're sticking up for Robert Kraft on this?
I like Robert Kraft.
He's a predator, too. Every time he would go to that... it was just outside Miami, wasn't it? He'd always visit that. It was a strip mall masseuse. Like, are you kidding me? He knew exactly what he was doing every time he went there.
There's a difference.
Didn't they have cameras? Like, they busted him. Like, he's toast. I've said a lot of weird, some busted, sticking up. This is a lot of innuendo in this.
I'm pretty sure it was consensual with Robert Kraft.
You are Hickman.
I don't think.
Walk it back. You don't believe that. If he paid for it, then it's prostitution, which is illegal in the state of Florida.
Which prostitutes consent to prostitution. Let's see. His masseuse was arrested, though.
Gee, I wonder why.
Mingby. She was released on a $5,000 bond when she was arrested.
I bet he paid it.
58, 58-year-old who allegedly performed a sexual act on the Patriots owner with another woman at the, yeah, blah, 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 blah.
58?
So, yeah, the police arrested Shin Mingbi.
Shin Mingbi.
Who was with Kraft in the massage room on January 19th, 2019. According to police, Kraft was joined in the massage room by two women. Officials say the...
He definitely paid.
Encounter was captured on surveillance.
Yeah, it's not that story. I was reading it.
Mingbi.
Mingbi.
And Li Wang.
Lulu.
Using their hands.
Her name was Li Wang. Did you really just say that?
It's literally her name.
You're laughing at this like it's funny. This is a tragic event. That woman went to jail.
When your name is Li Wang, and your name is being used in official documents talking about you using your hands on a old man's penis, it's kind of hard not to laugh.
I'm ashamed of you. Again, how many times do I have to end the segment with saying I'm ashamed of you? Apologize to the listener.
I apologize for nothing. No. Should I stay or should I go?
If you say that you are mine. Hour three rolls on. We'll move on from Li Wang.
I mean, I can finish the article.
No, please don't, God. Please, please don't. I'm immediately changing the subject. There's a couple other NFL notes I was going to mention. I'll just get to them quickly. Kareem Hunt, who is backing up Nick Chubb for the Cleveland Browns, has requested a trade, and the Browns said no chance. Yeah. I thought that was fascinating. Did he think he was going to beat out Nick Chubb and be the feature back? I do think Kareem Hunt, well, at least in his prime.
They always do a split backfield.
Yeah.
So, similar to Denver.
Like, I feel like he's going to get the carries. It seems like he just wants to be the guy somewhere.
They're both great running backs, so.
It sounds like it is Baker Mayfield's job, as we transition from Cleveland to former Cleveland. Baker Mayfield's job to lose in Carolina. Really surprised the Sam Darnold experiment didn't pay off for the Panthers, but it seems like Baker Mayfield will be the starter for the Panthers in week one. Is that a surprise to anyone?
No.
Kind of thought Baker would win that job.
I don't know.
I forget who their offensive coordinator is, but yesterday there
was... It's not Joe Brady, is it? From LSU? Or is he quarterback's coach? I think he went there.
He did for a while.
He was there for, what, 2 years?
But did he go back to college? Maybe he got fired and went back to college. I can't remember.
Anyway, apparently he was a Baker Mayfield skeptic and is now saying that he's been really impressed with Baker Mayfield since arriving in Carolina.
He's got to keep CMC healthy.
It's weird. Good luck with that. I'm not necessarily rooting for Baker Mayfield, but I'm kind of rooting for him in spite of Cleveland. I feel like that situation for Baker Mayfield was not the best, especially, I mean, he played all of last year hurt, and then they go out and kind of deal with Deshaun Watson behind Baker's back. Now Baker's healthy, and it looks like he's going to be the starter in Carolina, so I guess we'll have to wait and see there. Geno Smith over Drew Lock in Seattle for now, but it seems like Geno Smith is...
You might as well get ready for the number one pick next year.
I'm surprised. So it sounds like San Francisco is going to wait until last minute with Jimmy Garoppolo, hoping for a trade.
Yeah, I don't understand with that. Maybe teams aren't approaching.
I mean, I'm not saying Jimmy G.
There's a lot of teams that...
He's not elite, but he'd be better than Geno Smith, right?
He'd be better than a lot of guys out there. He'd be better than Daniel Jones, Giants.
I don't know. I'm still not out on Daniel Jones.
You're not?
No, not yet. I think the guy's got a lot of potential. But he has not been good. He's been a turnover machine since being a Giant. But feels like if you're Seattle, like at least with Daniel Jones, there's some long-term hope there. Geno Smith's been in the league a long time. Drew Lock, I just don't know if he's ever going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, a good starting quarterback in the NFL. It seems like, I mean, Jimmy G almost had you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to get rid of Jimmy G for Trey Lance's sake. You don't want him constantly looking over his shoulder like, man, if I make a bad throw, they're going
to
pull the...
They're going to wait to the trade deadline and cut him, it sounds like.
Who, Jimmy G?
Yeah. They're hoping for a trade, and if it doesn't happen, they're just going
to
cut him.
Which Jimmy G hasn't just gone to him, but hey, get me out of here if you're not going to play me.
No, that's what he wants that, and they want that, but they want to trade. They don't want to cut him until they have to.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's a big risk San Francisco's taking, coming off pretty much a Super Bowl run. I mean, I
don't blame him. It's just I'm surprised more teams aren't reaching out for Jimmy G. Again, he's not Tom Brady. He's not Peyton.
I mean, he's just a game manager.
He he's had flashes of being a little bit more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but the thing with Jimmy G is, like, usually, even in games they win, there's always one point in the game where you can circle, like, this is the moment Jimmy G might cost us the game.
Yeah.
I mean, what if Deshaun Watson's out a year? Would you just take a run as Cleveland and put him in there for 1 year? I mean, you got a roster that's ready to compete right now. Division's weak. I could throw him in there for a year.
I saw that mentioned, but if you're Jimmy G, would you want to go to a place knowing you're only going to be there for a year, no matter how good or bad you play? Like,
yeah.
If Jimmy G were to go to Seattle, you could see him being the starter in Seattle. I mean, assuming he wins the job,
yeah.
And I think he would, you could be the starter in Seattle for 3, 4, 5 years. If you go to Cleveland, you're going to be the backup next year when Deshaun gets back. Or after game 6 or game 12
Seattle's
or whatever.
Seattle's got some pieces, too, that would be pretty beneficial for Jimmy G.
He's got some weapons. I mean, they still got Lockett and DK Metcalf.
Penny.
They did lose Carson, I guess.
Yeah, the neck, right?
Yeah, Chris Carson. Yeah.
That's a fascinating saga. I don't necessarily blame San Francisco for going to Trey Lance, because if you're going to get him ready,
you traded up to get him.
Yeah, and you don't want to sit on him for that long.
I mean, he didn't have many starts as a college quarterback, I know. I think it was like 15, maybe.
Yeah, and wasn't it only like 3 or 4? Or 4 games the year before they drafted him? Like, he tore it up, but because of COVID, it was a shortened season, and he just didn't get to play that much.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to learn. But, yeah, I mean, if you think there's a chance he could be the future of your franchise, you probably need to go ahead and do that now.
I mean, the guy threw 1 interception in 3 years of college ball in 19 games.
He's got a cannon. I mean, he's got a super strong arm.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt he's talented.
And Shanahan's normally
great with quarterbacks.
We've seen
talented guys come in there. And into the league, I mean, all those guys are talented. Just whether can you play?
I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going to be the Trey Lance show.
Yeah.
Any other NFL notes, Hickman, that you've wanted to touch on?
Not that I can think of. The NFL did say that Aaron Rodgers did not violate any league policy by taking his psychedelic tea.
What's the name of that stuff? Habushka? Kabasha? We need a bear here. He's the psychedelic expert. Someone called in the Dan Patrick I was listening to the other day and said it's a 15-minute trip that takes you to the ends of the universe and back and changes your life.
Huh.
Aaron Rodgers is he the most fascinating quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
Like, you can't really figure him out.
Yeah, probably.
He's always dating a supermodel or a musician
witch.
Or, yeah, a witch. Was it her that got him hooked on this psychedelic tea?
It had
tea?
To be.
I think he's a good teammate. Devontae Adams seemed to like him.
Devontae Adams also got every little thing he could ever wanted, you know? I mean, you're getting to play with an elite quarterback. You're the number one option, mm-hmm. whether you like him or not.
He's making
you're
going to
be his go-to. I mean, he's going to make you look great. So, I don't know.
Well, that's why we have the Raiders as our dark horse Super Bowl contender, right?
I guess the Broncos were just sold the team to somebody, right? Did I see that?
They did. The only thing I saw was that the new owner did not know Roger Goodell's name. I don't know if he pronounced it wrong or just didn't know it, but everyone was saying, how amazing is it that a guy can buy an NFL team, one of only 32 teams, and not know the... Do you not have to run that by the commissioner? Do you not have to meet with the commissioner before you buy a team?
I would think so, yeah. It was the
did he call him
Walmart heir, Rob Walton, and
that's
his
right.
daughter
that's right.
and son-in-law. I don't know.
Are they going in like three, like a three-way
$4.65 billion was the sale. It's crazy.
And that's like the going rate for NFL teams now. I mean, not for, like, I think Dallas is far and away. They might be in the eights.
Yeah, that's the crazy stat, too, is Dallas is the most popular, sports franchise money-wise or something.
Yeah, well, they're worth the most, and Jerry Jones has done a really good job. So they make all of the Cowboys apparel. Like, he bought the factories, the rights, so he, like, the jerseys and stuff, he prints them, so he makes all the money on that, whereas a lot of other teams have that outsourced and
lose
a big chunk.
Too bad they suck.
I don't think Jerry Jones cares, man.
I wouldn't care.
He just wants them to be a soap opera. And then every year something goes wrong and he blames, oh, the quarterback was injured, or, oh, this coach or that coach. I mean, he's as long as there's drama around the Cowboys, they're going to sell tickets, they're going to sell jerseys, they're going to be right there on the cusp of making the playoffs, and if they get in, they're going to lose in the first round. I mean, they are. It is an entertaining. I mean, they are the show. They. I mean, it's the Cowboys. Even when they're not good, everyone loves to hate the Cowboys for being bad. And when they are good, you hate them for being good, unless you're a Cowboys fan. You got to. I mean, he's built a unique brand where it almost doesn't even matter if they're good or bad. The worst thing the Cowboys could do is go like one game above 500 every year and miss the playoffs. Just be mediocre. But they're always usually
be crap or get in the playoffs.
Yeah, basically. And it's worked. I mean, he's just printing money year after year. I mean, it's a great system if you can,
get it.
If you can get it. Yeah, it's a good gig, as they say. All right, final break. Come back, finish it up. It was a good run, but Hickman's checked out. He's done. He's scrolling Twitter, texting people.
I'm on Twitter, so
probably trying to dig some holes.
On Twitter, so I could find some baseball news that broke yesterday that nobody mentioned.
Go on.
Logan Steenstra announced that he's leaving the program.
I did not see this.
You
not
see it?
No.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. Shocking, to say the least.
We haven't really had anybody leave the program under...
Oh, the culture's so good.
I guess this might be he doesn't see much playing time in his near future with
maybe.
The new additions. That's unfortunate.
I always like that guy. He's made some incredible plays for us in the field out there in the midweek games.
Shortstop, right? Or is he
second baseman?
Second baseman. Okay. No, yeah. Super long, rangy guy. He doesn't look like much of an athlete, but no. I went to the Alabama A&M game. He made a couple of really nice plays. Like stabs and throws, he caught a couple of sharply hit liners that he had to really reach out for.
So here's the thing, though. Like, he'd have been – the second base job would have been between him and Christian Moore, so it only would have been a two-man battle.
Yeah, but what year is he?
I think he's a redshirt junior, maybe. Or
says he accepted a job in Kansas City.
Ooh. Wait, a job?
That's what I'm reading.
Oh, he was a JUCO guy, wasn't he?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was a JUCO guy.
He looks like he's from Kansas, maybe. At least he went to junior college there.
Interesting.
Actually, Liberty, Missouri's from. So,
have you guys seen the kids in the Little League World Series? Or I guess technically it's not the World Series.
Yeah, right? I've seen whatever the hell that is.
No. I'm not talking about that. Nah. You're talking about the guy who got hit in the head and then hugged the pitcher because the pitcher felt bad. You said that's a downfall of society. I think that's kids being kids, and you shouldn't worry so much about it.
That's not what I said. If you're going to quote me accurately.
Okay, what did you say?
Well, I can't say it on air.
Okay, exactly. So I have to reword the quote to make sure I could say it on air. It's a video going around. A lot of people think it's a good thing. Hickman thinks a kid getting hit in the head, being okay, and hugging the pitcher, who was crying because he felt so bad about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't intentional. It's Little League, Hickman. No, I was talking about the kid who slid into second base for a double and did the Drew Gilbert, Jordan Beck face
yes.
cover, and he had Tennessee
batting gloves.
Baseball gloves on.
Yes.
I saw that.
The kids love Tennessee.
Here's one thing about the Little League World Series.
Okay.
When the hell is the Tennessee team going to stop mimicking their jersey off of the Vanderbilt black uniforms?
Well, where are they out of? Where is this team from?
I'd imagine.
Nashville area.
Can't they pull teams from all across the state, though?
Well, they can, but this was the team that won to qualify for the college.
They won
the
regionals
Little League World
or whatever.
I mean, so you got teams from... You got players from other states wearing Tennessee gloves. We like that. But you don't like – I mean, we can't have it both ways.
Yeah, you can.
Well, you got to remember, I mean, for the last 10 years, Vanderbilt's been the hot team in the state. You want to look like the national champions, the SEC champions. But I'd say over the next couple years, assuming – and I have no reason to think he won't, but assuming Tony V keeps it rolling, you'll have more and more – I mean, you got to say, it's pretty cool to have a little leaguer wearing Tennessee gloves and doing the same celebration.
Yeah.
I'd say –
They're from Nolensville.
I mean, yeah, that's right.
Nashville.
That's right
yeah.
outside of Nashville.
Yeah.
So it's probably a bunch of, you know, Vandy fans that started a baseball team.
That'll probably come to UT one day. Because
the way things are going now, yeah, you're probably right.
Do you guys like the Little League World Series? I think it's pretty damn entertaining.
Those kids are good.
They are good.
They need back the fences up.
there is
some of those kids like bun it and it goes over the fence.
Some of those kids don't look like kids.
I saw a home run yesterday that would have been out in center field of Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
I like how they let him come up and like they say, I'm from so and so, from, you know, Pittsburgh or wherever. Yeah. And that one kid, the big guy, comes,
I hit dingers.
I hit bombs.
It's weird that like most of those kids I've noticed, like it says their favorite sport to play, and it's not all, it's never baseball. Have you noticed that?
No.
I saw one.
Well, maybe that's like, what's your other favorite sport to play? Does it never say baseball?
Like, I don't know.
It's probably like, okay, obviously you like baseball. You're pretty good at baseball. You're in the Little League World Series. What's your favorite other sport to play? I could see that being a thing.
Speaking of baseball.
Speaking of baseball.
Notable performances from former Vols yesterday. You ready for this?
Did you hear the call for Trey Lipscomb's home run?
No. Was it good?
It was just weird.
Go ahead and get that out of the way. Trey Lipscomb went 2 for 5, had a home run.
Yep.
And 4 RBIs. Pretty good day at the office for your first day ever.
I saw Drew Gilbert got
he got called up.
He did.
Blade Tidwell. He got 1 inning of work, 0 hits, 0 runs, 2 strikeouts.
Wow, nice.
1 inning?
Yeah.
Maybe he's gonna be
he's in Canada, right?
I have no idea.
Well, he's with whoever the Mets are with. Like their little
affiliate.
Farmhouse affiliate. Yeah. The Mets.
Right, but I thought he was in Canada. I just can't remember the name
Who's
of the
Zach Daniels? I don't remember this name.
Neither do I.
Well, apparently he's a former Vol for life. He's also
no. You're not. You're never a former Vol for life. Once you're a Vol for life, you're a Vol for life.
That's what VFL.
So apparently he went 2 for 4 with a home run, 2 RBIs.
Okay.
And a double.
Who was his name again?
Zach Daniels.
He was probably really good on the teams right before I really started following Tennessee baseball.
Probably
2 years ago.
Ben Joyce got some action the other day.
Did I see he only hit 100?
Not a good
outing.
Not a good outing.
What do you mean?
Well, he gave up, like, what, 2 hits, 2 runs, and
well, people
one
just
inning.
Sit on that fastball right now. He'll figure out how to pitch.
It's got good movement.
Yeah, he's got a wicked slider.
I'm surprised at how many of his fastballs end up going. I mean, I know if you get pretty much any contact on it, it's going the other way, but his fastballs have a lot of movement side to side. I'm surprised that he gets dinged up as much as he does.
Yeah, they said he sat around 99 to 101 with the fastball.
He's probably just taking it easy.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, what was his fastest pitch?
105.5.
105.5? Okay. He's only around. Maybe they're trying to work on command, movement, and so he's not able to throw quite as hard.
Maybe.
We can touch on tomorrow, but Florida did lose one of their top wideouts.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if they come out with a timeline or what the injury is.
I just saw indefinitely. I don't know what that means.
It's rare in the college game that you get that much information, but we'll see. Yeah, the Arizona State transfer hurt his foot. Is that what you said?
Foot, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a big one for an already depleted receiver core for the Gators. We will do it again tomorrow, 7 a.m. Hickman, you're back in the big chair tomorrow.
I'm just glad Nate will
be back. Chair. You're back in the new chair.
I'm glad Nate will be back to help me deal with you.
I'm disappointed in you.